Online marketing and communications. Marketing know-how for your business.
Hello, it's John Buskell and welcome to another episode of the show. This one's episode 151. And I'm not talking to you from the Doghouse studio in Stockholm this week. No, in fact, I'm talking to you from my house down in the south of France. I've come away for the summer to escape the cooler climes of Stockholm, to hang out and do a bit of renovation and run my business from down here. The great thing about running a marketing agency where several of the team are situated around the world with great tools like Slack and Asana means that I can be in the very, very fortunate position to come away and work down here. Got a couple of the woofs with me. Digby and Tia are sunning themselves outside in the garden now. I think it's about 35 degrees Celsius. They do enjoy finding a bit of shade. Winnie's still in Sweden, keeping an eye on her granddaughter, or her granddaughters, but her granddaughter is expecting pups very excitedly later in August. On today's show, I've got an interview with Marcel Goya. And Marcel is an entrepreneur who works out of the UK, and he's launched Lingu Social. Now, Lingu Social lets you make real-time interpreted voice calls on any platform. Yes, it doesn't matter if you're speaking English, French, Swedish, German, and a whole range of other languages to boot. Lingu Social will provide real-time translations. They're both remote interpreters who can work with you, but also machine translations. And the interview is not about the service, but is in fact about how someone that was bootstrapping their business has been doing their marketing. Marcel took the time to be very, very frank and honest about what he's been doing with marketing, to give an idea to those of you who work with small businesses about some of the lessons he's learned along the way. He launched Lingu Social about 3 to 4 weeks ago, as of June 2015. In case you're listening long, long into the future. Yes, the service was launched in the summer of 2015. But the insights that he gives, the honest appraisal of what he did, is really interesting, I think, for many of us that work with marketing, that run our own businesses, because he talks about some of the things that he found really positive about bootstrapping, some of the things he could have done better. But without further ado, let's get on to that interview with Marcel. And I hope you find this very, very interesting and useful to your business and marketing. So Marcel, thank you very much for joining the show. How are you doing today?
Thank you. I'm very well.
Why don't you quickly tell people who you are and what you do?
Yes, no problem. My name is Marcel Goya. I'm a 31-year-old software developer from London, and I'm currently working on a product called Lingu Social. It's basically the world's first 24/7 in-call translation platform. So people can make automatically translated video chats, voice calls, and also instant messaging from within a web browser, a telephone system, and also on an iPhone app.
The reason that I've asked you on the show, Marcel, is I think, as well as trying out the product and thinking it's really amazing, I really love, you know, for someone who works in for someone who works in a multilingual environment and has customers all around the world, I saw lots of possibilities for that. So, you know, I definitely recommend people check it out, and I'll put a link to Lingu Social in the show notes that go along with this over at moondogmarketing.com/151. But before we, you know, now let's dive into things a bit, because I've asked you on the show because you're a bootstrapper. It's just you in the company, right?
That's almost correct. I'm also working with another developer, but he's currently based in Germany and he's working on Lingu Social part-time. But I'm working on it full-time. So I've been working on it for the past 2.5 years and he just recently joined the team.
Okay, so 2.5 years, and effectively you're bootstrapping this. And I know that there are people that listen to the show who are solo entrepreneurs, or they're members of a really small team, and they haven't got marketing budgets to bring in agencies. And so, you know, like you, they're having to go it alone in the beginning stages. And I thought it'd be really interesting to talk through, to talk to someone who's got a product out there, who is going through the bootstrapping process themselves. So in terms of development, did you put all your effort into actually building the product before starting to market it?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. I mean, I initially did a little bit of market research. I had conversations with several people from within our target audience who are mostly international travelers, all sorts of businesses ranging from small to enterprise and also nonprofits. And yeah, I mean, we just worked on the product directly, and we didn't really think about marketing in the first place because this is something for us which would come at a later stage after we launch the product. But it's obviously very critical for us as well because, I mean, there's no point of developing a product if nobody knows about it.
No, exactly. What kind of market, how did you do your market research? Was it interviews? Was it data collection?
It was very basic. I mean, I obviously started with a Google search, and I started searching for various blog posts from people within the industry. And I also spoke to a couple of people who are working as an interpreter as well. And that was pretty much it, to be honest with you. And obviously, I checked out the competition as well, which is very important. So we know exactly that there's nothing else on the market which is comparable to our product. And yeah, that's basically what we've done.
At what point in the process then did you start to realize we're going to have to market it, we're going to market ourselves? And, you know, when did you take that, you know, when did that realization come to you?
Pretty much around about 4 to 5 weeks before we actually launched. I mean, it, obviously, it's very important when you do a product launch, you need to be featured in blog posts, industry-related blog posts. That's the easiest way. Also, news outlets like, for example, the BBC, etc. I mean, that's just a, it's a wish, but it obviously doesn't really happen because with PR, there's a lot of hard work involved as well. So, yeah, and there's also... yeah, marketing on social media channels as well, like Twitter and Facebook.
Do you have any kind of marketing background? What is your background?
No, nothing at all. I'm a software developer, for 400% basically.
400%.
But just 100.
But I think what we've got here is we've got the classic situation of someone who starts a business, you know, has a project, an entrepreneur. I mean, just like myself, you know, when I started out, although I, you know, it's a marketing company, I had to market the company from the beginning, and you do that from scratch. And nowadays, I mean, I started what was Jontus Media and is now Moondog Marketing. I started that in 2004, and I, you know, I'd been working in the industry, I've been working in journalism, I've been working in communications, so I understood a lot of how it worked. But, you know, where did you go to get started with learning about marketing?
I just used Google, to be honest with you. I just, I mean, the thing is, I have no experience with marketing and PR. So I really had to start from scratch, basically. So first thing I did was just looking for articles about marketing 101. Doing PR 101, so I just really need to get the basics right. And obviously then you start experimenting with social media, advertising on Twitter and Facebook. And I mean, these days it's very easy to find information about how to do marketing the right way, because there are so many companies out there who have already had to go through this whole process by themselves. And yeah, it definitely makes it easier for us.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can see that myself. There is an absolute noise of information. There's so much information out there. But I think, and this comes up in the conversations, you know, I have or we have with customers, actually, no matter what stage they're at in their business, they're often very unsure of where to put the focus of their marketing. Because if you look what's out there, everyone mm-hmm. will say you've got to do integrated, you know, you've got to do pay-per-click with Google, you've got to do social media, you've got to have a presence there, you've got to create content, inbound marketing, showing your customers the value, creating content that addresses their problems and their needs. So in your, you know, in your case, it might be a demo of showing how people who don't speak German could communicate online. You know, you could be investing in materials like that. But narrowing those down is incredibly difficult. How have you learned to narrow down, or haven't you?
We kind of learn to narrow it down because we know that, for example, the good thing is we already create a document where we nail down our target audiences. So we know exactly where we are aiming at international travelers, because they are mostly going to use the machine translation features. And with the businesses, it's very important to have access to real interpreters. So we know that most of these people actually are more communicating on LinkedIn. So that's the reason why we think we can start doing the marketing on LinkedIn, specifically targeting the businesses themselves. And for the rest, like for example, the individuals, we then use Twitter or Facebook, and we would basically, we can target them directly on these social media channels. So that's definitely helpful.
Well, I certainly think you are, you know, one step ahead of the game. The fact that you've actually identified your target audience, that you've worked through, if you like, brand archetypes, the people that you're going to get, that you've done the research to discover where they are online. I'm just curious, with LinkedIn, are you going at this through organic posting? Because nowadays LinkedIn enables you to publish, to almost blog on LinkedIn, or just do status updates a bit like Twitter and Facebook. Or there's also pay-per-click advertising. Have you tested any of these or decided which way you're
going? To be honest with you, we haven't decided anything yet. The only thing I know at this stage is that we have to reach out to the interpreters who will be working on our marketplace. So I think that specialized or marketing could be very helpful, because people are always looking for work, especially on LinkedIn. And as for the potential customers, I think it would make sense to have advertisements on LinkedIn as well.
I think it's go on.
Yeah, sorry. I think it's best if we have a dual strategy of writing blog posts on LinkedIn and also using their advertisement.
I think it's really good that you're focusing on LinkedIn. I think a lot of new businesses underestimate the power, the value of LinkedIn as a social media platform. Because it's so business orientated, it's very, very powerful. You know, in the last few years, we've seen what was an initial rush to be on Facebook and build a presence on Facebook. And now as Facebook's algorithms have got harder and Facebook have made it much, much more difficult to get your messages in front of people unless you're paying, you know, LinkedIn is now the space. There's so much noise on Twitter that it can be hard to be seen. But let's move the conversation on a little to your website. You've got a great looking website. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, we put a lot of effort in simplicity and making the message 100% clear for potential customers, because it's a niche market at the moment, especially the telephone interpreting market. I mean, although it's a $4 billion market, it's still hard for people to understand what automatically translated voice calls actually are. So that's the reason why we're telling them directly. It's an in-call translation platform, and you can basically have conversations with people who don't really speak your mother language or mother tongue.
Did you build the website yourself?
I built the whole platform myself, including the design, the website, the technology behind it, basically every single aspect.
Oh, but that's amazing, because it really is a good-looking website. It's a great website. How difficult was that? Had you studied HTML, CSS in the beginning, or?
When I started working as a web developer, which was around about 15 years ago, I started doing programming with HTML first. So it's, kind of normal for me to, develop websites.
That's interesting, because I think a lot of people that bootstrap, they'll go out and they'll purchase a bog standard turnkey theme, whether it's through the Genesis framework or Theme Forest. Sure. That's one of the things that they do. So you're in a great position that you've been able to build it yourself. with the design work, though, how conscious were you about creating a platform online that would speak to your target audience? Did you do anything in that process? Did you do, did you look at what other websites were doing? Did you think about mobile? What was your thought process around this?
I'm using a mobile first approach, so it's very important for me to have the content available on pretty much any device, let it be an iPhone or an Android handset or an iPad or a normal PC, because it's very important to deliver the content in the right format on any platform, especially for us.
Go on.
Yeah, because we are cross-platform anyway, so it's very important that we can cater to every individual platform. And it's also very important for us because we can reach out to as many people as possible.
How much research did you put into deciding that a mobile-first approach was the right way to go when you were setting up your design for your platform?
To be honest with you, not much, because I already knew from the beginning that it's very important for our customers to use our product on the go, because especially with the international travelers, they sometimes don't really have access to the internet. So it's very important for them to have access to a telephone system. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why we developed the telephone interpreting system in the first place, because it's all, because people don't really have the time to take out their MacBook when they're, for example, in a pharmacy or in a hospital. It wouldn't make sense, and it's very unnatural as well. So normally the first thing you do is you just take out your mobile and use it. And it doesn't actually matter with our platform if you have internet or not. You can either call a local telephone number in the country you're currently visiting, or you can use the iPhone app.
So now you've got to this stage where you've got the product launched. You've started your main marketing over the last five, 6 weeks. Is that what you said?
Yes, that's correct.
That's right. Is there any way that you would have done this differently, or do you feel confident that this has been the right approach to develop the product, then when you've got the product to go into marketing it? Or was this just the way you could do it?
To be honest, it was actually just the way I could do it, because we had this deadline of launching the product by the end of May, because I told customers about it as well. So we really had the pressure, and our biggest problem is really, for every single startup, we have limited resources. So we basically didn't have the time to focus on the marketing as much as we would like to, because we really had to put all our energy into developing the product and trying to provide the best service for our customers initially. And that's the reason why I decided personally that it would be best to focus on the marketing after the product launch, because then we would at least have something on the market and we would just have to pick up from there, basically.
Rather than building an audience while you were going along, rather than building a community, I suppose a lot of businesses that approach us are interested in building a social media community. And when we've worked with startups, they often don't have the minimal viable product to go to market anyway. So it's very hard to build communities. And I think that's something that bootstrappers don't always realize, is that, it's so hard to go out and build an audience if you haven't actually got the product to show people, because you've got nowhere to drive them. And it's very, very hard to, you know, to get them into newsletter signups or to sign up for your services. Have you used any sign up feature over the last 6 weeks?
I mean, we had a small sign up form on the website so that people who are interested in getting news updates could basically sign up. I mean, we didn't really use it that much because we only had like a dozen or so people signing up to it. So it was more like a placeholder on a website before we actually launched. I mean, to be honest with you, we didn't do a lot of marketing in the first place anyway. So it's pretty much like coming out of nowhere, and now we're trying to build a presence online.
How are you dividing your time, though? Because I think this is another thing that people come back to me about if they're bootstrapping. They'll say, you know, we've got the product. In your case, we've got the translation service. And then they'll then say, you know, I've got the product, but I don't know how many hours I should be spending on the marketing. How are you doing that? Is it just something that you start the day and think, I've got to get the message out? Or are you allocating a certain amount of time? I'd like you to talk a bit about whether you are taking a strategic, planned approach to this, or you're, you know, to put it bluntly, running around like a headless chicken.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously very tempting to use the lone gunman approach by just going to Twitter and shooting out a couple of tweets. But obviously, if you want to do this professionally, if you really want to build an audience which lasts longer than a couple of weeks, then you really have to think about the content or the message you're sending out to your, you know, target audience, and also how you're going to, you know, spend your money. Because obviously when you have a startup, you don't really have a lot of resources, even in financial terms. So you just have to really think about how you actually plan the whole, basically you have to create a whole marketing strategy around this. Mm-hmm. And you have to think about which social media channels you're going to use, either Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn. And you also have to develop or come up with a small marketing budget as well. That's very important.
Are you using any particular tools to measure the success of how you're doing? Have you got metrics in place to measure your return on investment of your marketing activities?
Unfortunately not. I mean, this is something we have to develop over the next couple of weeks, because I've only recently started working on like a proper marketing strategy. So this is something we definitely have to incorporate.
If you were going to give one piece of advice to yourself when you were starting out on all this process, if you could go back to those, you know, those 2.5 years ago, and you could say to yourself, okay, Marcel, I'm going to have to market this myself because I'm bootstrapping it. What piece of advice would you give yourself?
I would advise myself to develop a marketing strategy at least 2 months before the actual product launch, because I've read it on a couple of blogs already, but it's very important before you actually do the product launch that you would have to, you know, raise interest. Because when you launch, it's basically like, okay, you launched, but nobody's interested.
Silence.
So exactly. So it can be very frustrating for you because you put a lot of time and effort into actually building a product, and then there's nobody who actually knows about it. So yeah, this is something I would definitely advise, because when you start and you build a marketing strategy and basically if you execute it well, then you would have at least a small target audience and people who are willing to use your product.
Marcel, I really appreciate how frank and open you've been about marketing a product and your own experiences here. I'm sure a lot of the listeners to the show who are, you know, bootstrappers will recognize some of the things that you've been talking about and will have gained some, you know, hopefully some energy and inspiration from going it alone themselves. Like I said, I'll put links to Lingo Social in the show notes over at moondogmarketing.com/151. But what can people do to find out more about your service, your product?
I mean, we just launched a public beta, so the video chat feature and the instant messaging is completely free during that time. The great thing is, rather than installing Skype Translator, the good thing is you can just go to a website and you can use a web app, which doesn't require any plugins or anything like it. So we basically need to have as many willing testers as possible. So. Yeah, please feel free to sign up, create an account, and use it all for free.
So there we have it. Thank you very much to Marcel for coming onto the show to give us an insight into bootstrapping LinguSocial. To get the show notes and links to this week's episode, just go along to moondogmarketing.com/151. And if you've got any comments or questions about the things that we raised in the show, or maybe there's something you'd like me to take up on the show another time, why not send me a tweet on Twitter? And I'm John Buskell, JONBUSCALL. Or you can send me a message through moondogmarketing.com's contact page. And in the worst of cases, you could just Google me. It's quite easy to find me because I've got such a unique name. So that's it for another episode. I do hope no matter where you are, you're enjoying some summer sunshine, even if it's November in 2016 and the snow's falling. Imagine that sunshine. Take good care, and I'll be back with another episode very soon.
Online marketing and communications. Marketing know-how for your business.
As always, recorded in the Doghouse studio. For more, visit moondogmarketing.com. And for those of you that are keen podcasters and who might be wondering how I'm recording this show, I had the interview with Marcel already pre-recorded for when I got down here. But the intro and outro I've recorded using a Rode Procaster. So that's the dynamic, not the USB mic. A Rode Procaster going into my Zoom H4N. So I'm recording in mono just into the one channel here. And then I'll edit it in Adobe Audition, mix it all together with the interview that I did over Skype that was done using my RE20, my Electro Voice RE20, going through a mixing desk, putting Skype and my voice together, putting it all together with a bit of hocus pocus and a bit of tweaking to sweeten the sound. But I do hope that the sound quality is as good as usual. Not sure how this is going to come out. Never done it before like this. But I do hope that you will enjoy the show.